Hello, this is WDIY, and you are listening to a hybrid program right now between Business Beat and Wellness Lehigh Valley. The Lehigh Valley is booming and changing, and that's why WDIY brings you a program keeping tabs on the who, what, when, where, why, and how our area is growing and innovating. I am Sally Hanlon, your host of a program that brings leaders of our community together for conversations about Lehigh Valley developments moving forward. And that is certainly the case with this program because we have a very exciting symposium to share with you that is coming up at the Community College, Northampton Community College, soon. But before we do that, I want to introduce my guest, Joe Welsh. And Joe is a founder and executive director of Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. He's had at least 15 years of civil rights attorney litigation. He's managed political and social justice campaigns and a consultant to state and local governments as well. So, Joe, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having us here.
Have you had a busy year since your last visit?
Yes, we've had a really exciting year. We've built out the Institute a bit. We've added data scientists. We're really looking forward to this symposium. It's a very exciting project for us because it's a way to educate the community on what we have found in our 4.5 years of studying criminal justice and social justice issues in the Lehigh Valley, that there is a tremendous intersection between mental health and the criminal justice system.
Wow, and we dealt a little bit with that when we had the principal of Liberty High School here talking about students and the impact of the mental health and wellness on their future career paths.
Correct. And Dr. Bailey, who was on that program, developed a trauma-informed approach to education, which he implemented at Liberty High School, where he was principal. He has now moved onward and upward to superintendent of the Wilson Area School District.
Oh, that's great, and I wish him congratulations. I did reach out to him, and I told him I'd bring him on the show so he could talk about this transition and what he's doing in Wilson as well. So let's focus a little bit on the symposium, because you mentioned a little bit you've been around 4.5 years. You've been doing a lot of research and data collection on things. So what does this symposium bring to the Lehigh Valley? Can you share it with our listeners?
Yeah, the idea of the symposium is to allow, first of all, educators, people who are involved in the criminal justice system, social justice activists, and the community in general to learn more about just how closely linked mental health and criminal justice issues are. And to do that, we have 4 panels that involve local people that are involved in various aspects of mental health and criminal justice.
Okay, now this is being held at Northampton Community College on March 20th, correct?
That's correct. It's an all-day event. You know, if people can't make it for the entire day, they're certainly free to come to various parts of the symposium.
Okay, and the college does an annual event, and this is like the second time that the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute has been a part of it?
Yes, the Northampton Community College for a long time has had an annual Peace and Justice Conference, and they have invited us to come this year to put on this symposium, and also the symposium's on Thursday, March 20th, but on Friday morning, March 21st, we will be unveiling an interactive injustice map of the Lehigh Valley, which will highlight geographically things like money spent on public schools, you know, education issues, healthcare issues, criminal justice issues, obviously, and also environmental justice. We're looking at things like air quality and water quality, and we're going to have these geographically displayed on a map that will be hosted on our website. And so the public, researchers, whoever, can go in and on the map put together combinations of these various factors along with the underlying demographics from the American Community Survey of the U.S. Census.
That's pretty exciting
to have that available. It's very exciting. So we got 2 exciting things going on that week.
Boy, that's a busy week for you guys.
Yeah.
So can you share with our listeners a little bit, maybe a little flavor of some of the presentations, the panels, the people that are going to be there at this symposium on the 20th?
Sure. The symposium's broken up into 4 panels. We get off to a very good start about mental health. with our former representative in Congress, Susan Wild, who has been a tremendous advocate for spending on mental health issues in a whole variety of contexts. Then we move into our first panel, which is mental health in the schools. And this, of course, features Dr. Harrison Bailey.
Okay.
And then Nicholas Samutalis, who is the head of the wellness program at Liberty High School. Andrew D'Angelo, who is the executive director of the Center for Humanistic Change, which has programming in virtually every school district in the Lehigh Valley. So he can give us a somewhat valley-wide perspective. And then finally, Ezra Hamanoff, who is one of our consultants on this work that we're doing. She is a school psychologist. So that is our first panel. It's going to be moderated by our very dynamic Director of Operations, Victoria Wrigley. And we hope to educate people about ways in which we can intervene early, at an early age in the school system, and divert students from behaviors that more recently have been criminalized as opposed to being internal disciplinary matters. And this is what's sometimes referred to as the school-to-prison pipeline.
And yeah, when you guys told that had that saying when we met, it was like, wow, that's so incredible, you know, schools to prisons.
Yeah, well, that's a phrase that I learned as a board member of Pennsylvania ACLU, because they've done a lot of work in this area. It's pretty frightening. We're taking kids who may have some trouble, may have done something that you and I did when we were in high school, and it was just an internal go see the principal matter.
Yeah.
But taking those kids and basically branding them as criminals by putting them in the juvenile justice system, and in so many cases, sadly, setting them up for justice-involved lives.
Now, when you say sort of starting early to help alleviate, what is early? Is it elementary school? Is it junior high? Is it?
Well, in this case, it's senior high.
Senior high,
with
okay.
Dr. Bailey's program, but there is no reason why this couldn't be expanded down at least into junior high.
Okay.
That's really where the drama starts.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny. The Wellness Center is one part of his trauma-informed approach to education. And one of the really subtle things that he does that, when you think about it, makes so much sense is he has Liberty structured that every class period starts with a two-minute pause. That doesn't sound like much. But if you think back to your days in high school, junior high school, whatever, what was your day like? You went to various classes, and you had maybe 5 minutes in between the classes to get to the next one. And so what happened during those five-minute breaks? You leave your history class, and you're on the way to chemistry, and you run into somebody in the hall who tells you that, oh, my God, something happened last night, and did you know that this guy was with this woman, and blah, 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 blah. And you go to the next class, and you're still thinking about processing what went on in the hall. So having that two-minute pause gives you the time to process the drama from the hall, and then we're going to start education. And it's such a subtle thing, but
yeah.
When you think back, it makes so much sense.
Well, and we tell people that in careers, that in order to clear their mind before they start on something new, whether that's a deep breathing technique or whatever, you know, before you start to engage in something, make sure you're disengaged from what you were prior.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. Okay. So that's the first panel, the mental health in our schools. What happens after that?
All right. There's a short break, and then we move on to the second panel, which is mental health co-responders being utilized in policing. And once again, we have a local hero on the matter, Chief Michelle Cott of the Bethlehem Police Department, who is a nationally recognized leader in this field.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, she was one of 10 police chiefs nationwide chosen by Harvard University that they sent to Denver to study their police co-response model. What this involves is sending out co-responders with police officers in appropriate situations to try to de-escalate whatever events happening that have required the police intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that gets missed in the discussion very often is This is really an officer safety matter, because to the extent that we have professionals who can de-escalate situations before they get out of control, we're actually making the streets safer for our police officers. So not only is it a good thing for the community, it's also something that helps our police officers and makes things safer for them.
So the co-person that helps to de-escalate, what kind of background do they come from?
They usually have a psychology, maybe even sociology background, but they are professionally trained
counselors
in mental health issues.
Yeah. Do we have many in the Valley that can be? Do you have to pass some kind of certification to do that?
Not necessarily a certification, but you obviously have to have some expertise. But there's really two issues here. One is the true mental health co-responders, where the mental health professional is either with the officer or several minutes away and can be called to the scene. And that's the most important part, de-escalating the situation that's happening. But it's also important to be providing social services to people who are at risk of falling into criminal behavior.
Okay.
And that's the other part of Chief Cott's program, and it's also something that they're doing right now in the city of Allentown under Chief Rocha, is when officers identify problem situations like repeat nuisance calls to a particular address, they're taking a proactive approach and hooking them up with appropriate support services to try to just quell a situation ahead of time. That's also important, as is wraparound back-end services, that when police go to a call where it's clear that there's a need for some kind of intervention, to make sure that those things are followed up. And we are going to, in addition to Chief Cott, we're going to have Susan Benet Berger of the Bethlehem Health Bureau on the panel to talk about those kind of services.
And I would imagine that those are important for the surrounding family of the individual that's having the episode or the problem to be aware of as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, in some situations, it can be an intra-family issue that's going on.
Wow. Well, those are two very exciting, very current needs that I think we in the Lehigh Valley, as well as the rest of the country, is experiencing. Listeners, we're going to take a short break right now. Please stay tuned to listen to the next two panels that are coming up and a little bit more about the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. We are talking with the executive director and a co-founder of the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, Joe Walsh. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you to the members of WDIY for making all the programming you hear possible. Becoming a WDIY member is the best way to support your listening and to ensure WDIY will be here for the next person in our community to discover. Make your membership gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 4 or wdiy.org. We couldn't be here without you.
Welcome back to our WDIY program. We're talking about criminal justice system, the intersection of mental health and criminal justice, with a local expert, Joe Walsh, who is executive director of the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. And before the break, we were talking about some of the panels in the upcoming symposium on the 20th of March. And by the way, this is open to the public. They would like you to register so they know that you're coming. And there is a website, Joe.
Yes, the website is www.lvji.org. LVJI, of course, standing for Lehigh Valley Justice Institute.
And on that, not only will you be able to register, but you'll be able to see some of the other programs that the Justice Institute has been engaged in.
That's correct. And all of our research projects, our research reports, are available to download from the resources page of our website.
Okay. Before we get into some of those additional resources and other things available through the Justice Institute, let's talk more about the other two panels that are coming up on the 20th.
Yes, we have the two panels in the morning, which are run sequentially, and then in the afternoon, just because of time constraints, we are running two panels simultaneously. And the first of those panels revolves around the mental health crisis in our jails. And the sad fact is that you could go to just about any county in the United States of America and ask someone, where's the largest mental health treatment facility? And it will end up being the county jail.
Wow.
Which is obviously the worst possible setting for any kind of mental health therapy. So what a number of people are looking at is innovative ways to sort of weed out the people who really need more on the treatment side than just incarceration because they committed some crime. And part of this whole process is how we use the time when people are in custody of the state to give them the tools to turn their lives around. And that's what the reentry process is. Mm-hmm. Because over 95% of everyone who is in jail today will be released to the community. Now, do we want to release them to the community in the same state that they were when they committed crimes? Or do we want to release them into the community with tools to essentially get their life back on track? And that's what the reentry process is about. That's where we believe that that whole notion of reentry should start on essentially the first day of incarceration. The whole incarceration period should not be about warehousing people. It should be about giving people the tools they need to not commit more crime.
And I would think that someone who's been incarcerated who is not given these tools is actually released in a worse condition than they were originally placed because they've been sitting in this situation without help.
Very, very often, and that certainly is the case with juvenile detention. I mean, essentially we're sending kids to crime school.
Great. They're learning more tricks of the trade, huh?
Exactly. So we have a really dynamic panel for this panel. We have Reverend Dr. Philip Davis of Shiloh Baptist Church, who has set up as part of Shiloh's mission. They have a lot of community projects. They have Shiloh Manor senior citizen housing. They've been active in housing in the Easton area. But this project is to take reentrants from Northampton County Jail who have mental health issues and provide sort of a halfway house setting for them to continue to receive counseling and also reintegrate into the community in a sort of gentler way than just saying, okay, you're free to go.
The door's open. Yeah.
So he'll be talking about that program. We have Robert Reed, who is the head of the Pennsylvania Reentry Council of the Attorney General's Office. Okay. You know, we're active with that council as an institution, and he'll be talking about statewide efforts in regard to reentry. We have one of our board members, Jose Rivera, who has a very, very compelling life story. He's currently the community outreach coordinator for the United Way. He's also a master's student at Muhlenberg College. And he, earlier in his life, was very active with the Latin Kings.
Okay.
And in fact, was the leader of the Latin Kings at Frackville State Correctional Facility. And while he was at Frackville, he had an epiphany. This was not the way that he wanted to lead his life. And started education while he was still in prison and, you know, got his bachelor's when he got out. He got some blowback from his gang members in Frackville, and actually he got several of his lieutenants on board for what he was doing, who essentially were his bodyguards. And he worked with prison administration, and they would actually make sure that, like, when he was in the general population, out, you know, out exercise yard or whatever, that they would also have these other individuals that were protecting him out at the same time. Yeah, he has a very powerful story to tell.
I guess.
And then finally, we have Dr. Joseph Roy, who just retired recently as the superintendent of the Bethlehem Schools, mm-hmm. who was superintendent when Dr. Bailey was putting together his Liberty High School program. In his retirement, Dr. Roy is a volunteer at Northampton County Jail, so he can talk to us about his experiences, from the outside as a educational professional, what he's seeing as the needs of the residents at Northampton County Jail. Okay. And Nicole Levy, who is our administrator and non-data researcher, qualitative researcher, is going to be moderating that panel.
Fascinating. And then wrapping it up?
And wrapping it up is my favorite panel, I think, because it's so foundational. It's reimagining roles in the criminal justice system. You know, the traditional look at a prosecutor is prosecutor comes in, all that matters is the conviction rate and getting people in jail. The public defenders, generally their job is to hold the state to the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt and put on a legal defense. That's shifting. And we have some enlightened people, and sorry to say, one of the most enlightened people in this regard is Jacqueline Romero, who until several weeks ago was the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. And I think she sums it up best with her oft-quoted statement, which is, I have two jobs. My first job is to investigate crime and put people in jail. My second job is to make sure I never see them again. So in her tenure in the U.S. Attorney's Office, she built out a fairly robust reentry program that goes around the state and, among other things, puts on reentry simulations, which we have done also, that really lets people see what the hurdles are we're putting in the way of people when they serve their time and come out of jail back into the community. Mm-hmm. But like one simple thing is getting IDs for employment and housing. And we had several, the one that we did 2 years ago at NACS Peace and Justice Conference, we had several Lehigh County commissioners. And shortly thereafter, Lehigh County entered into an agreement with PennDOT to get all of the paperwork done while someone was still in jail so that the day that they're released back into the community, they can immediately go to PennDOT and all the precursor documents have been set up and they can just get their ID so they can then go out and seek employment and housing.
As you're describing everything, it just seems like there's such a universal opportunity here. I mean, it's not just attorneys, it's not just teachers, it's parents. It's, you know, anybody in the community would definitely get a great awareness of what the situation is and hopefully be able to act about it. And is that sort of the goal, to really
yes.
have something that's universal?
The overall goal of the Institute really is public education.
Okay.
I mean, we say we do research, policy development, and advocacy, but our advocacy really is educating the public and providing tools to other advocates.
Okay.
You know, our data. A good example is our reports have been used to focus government funding on programs that are working. So that we see as the ultimate value and mm-hmm. the end result we're seeking. But going back to this reimagining panel, we have Judge Elizabeth Hay, who is a United States Magistrate Judge here in the Eastern District, and she developed a mental health diversion program, which she will be talking about. We have Gavin Holohan, who is the newly elected Lehigh County District Attorney, who has taken a holistic approach to his role, similar to what U.S. Attorney Romero had done, you know, focusing on reentry programming. And then we have Kim McCool, who is the Lehigh County Public Defender, who has is really the shining star of what a public defense office should look like. She now has two full-time social workers, so that she's not only providing legal defense, the four corners of the courtroom, she's actually trying to put structure around her clients to give them the tools that they need to get their life back on track, mm-hmm. which is a recurring theme here. And finally on that panel is a very dynamic person, Vertel Martin, who is the director of the Criminal Justice Program at NAC. She is a former internal affairs officer for NYPD.
Wow.
And also served as the NYPD liaison to 9/11 victims' families. So she's got quite a background that she brings to bear. And, you know, I had first mentioned to her, maybe you want to be on the policing panel. And she said to me, no, I want this reimagining one. That's the one I want to be on. And, you know, that's why I said it's such a fundamental potential shift to our justice system.
It certainly does sound extremely interesting. Now, what is the time on this on the 20th?
There's a reception starting at 8:30, and that'll be in the lobby of the Lipkin Theater at the main campus of Northampton Community College. And then we will get started with a few welcoming comments at 9:15, followed by the keynote address by Susan Wild.
Okay, and then that goes until, what, about 4 in the afternoon?
And then the panels and the lunch period take us to 3:15, the panels end, and we're going to have a little general discussion time after that and try to wrap that up by about 3:45.
Okay, now I see on the schedule that I have, is there still the Frank Banco Ale House Cinema? Is that still a part of the screening of the Central Park Five?
Yes, that's not something we're putting on. That's part of NAC's Peace and Justice Conference. Yes, that's screening of the Central Park Five film.
Okay, wow, it's quite a heavy day, but definitely has a lot of opportunity for thinking about things differently as you look at the justice system. So let's talk a little bit more about the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, because we mentioned that there's opportunities here for interns, for you to bring in some people to help with all the research and the data collection that you do.
Yeah, we could not do the volume of work that we do without the help of interns. And it is just so refreshing to go to college campuses where we recruit interns and to see their work. Makes me feel good about the future, that there are so many students out there who are motivated on social justice issues and really talented and can do the work and help us put together all of the studies that we work on. We right now have 7 interns. I believe we've had interns from virtually every college or university in Lehigh Valley and several beyond. Right now we have an intern from Dickinson College.
Okay.
Who's working on an interesting project on the economics of immigration. It's a rather timely one.
Yes, it is. And you were saying you have all disciplines as far as you have history and media and communications. And
yes. You know, we have places for interns not only in the disciplines that you would traditionally associate with our work, such as criminal justice, political science, history, psychology, sociology, but we right now have a media intern who's working on a documentary about the Northampton County problem-solving courts. You know, we have use for all sorts of talents. And one of the things that we do in our internship program is one of the first questions that we ask a potential intern is, what are you interested in researching? And to the extent that it's consistent with other areas that we're looking at, we've really tried to craft a project that fits in their set of interests.
Well, listeners, we're going to have to thank Joe for being with us, but I really do want to say thank you to Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, for the community college, for putting on such a dynamic opportunity for us to learn more about what's going on in our community and outside our community with the criminal justice system. Joe, thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you for having us.
And again, listeners, this is on Thursday, March 20th. Go on to lvji.org to get more information about this symposium as well as more about what they're doing. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you get an opportunity to experience this symposium.